Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Good evening, gentlemen. How's everyone doing tonight? It's good to see you all here. I want to welcome you, and anyone tuning in online, want to welcome you also. We'd love to have you join us. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to get together with the brothers, hear from the Word, have a little bit of fellowship, and encourage one another. Please take a moment to encourage someone today. And, you know, always feel free to ask someone for prayer or share what's going on in your lives. We all need each other. And that's why we join together. It's, you know, any of us can just read the Bible on our own or play a Chuck message from 20 years ago, but there's nothing like getting together. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's good to be here. So let's just start out with some prayer and some of your requests. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence here tonight. Just good to be among the brethren, Father God. And we just pray that you would just meet with us here, Father. Meet us individually, Lord, the things that we need to hear from your Holy Spirit, Father. I just pray that you would minister to us tonight, Father. And we just want to bring these requests, Lord, that you've put on our brothers' hearts. I want to pray for Brother Larry Wall from Refuge here, who had this bad accident in Amsterdam and broke his shoulder and just messed his ribs and in a lot of pain and a lot going on with that process, this rod that they put in his shoulder. And so I just want to pray for Brother Larry right now, Father. We just pray for complete healing, Lord. We pray that you take the pain away, Father, that you just be with him, Lord. And as he needs to minister to his wife and in her condition, Lord, we just pray you just bless that couple, Lord. And that you would just provide what they need, Father, the assistance they need, Father, and that your Holy Spirit would just give them peace, Father. And we just pray for healing for Brother Larry, that there'd be no infection, and just whatever's going on there, Father, you would just touch. For Brother Mark here, has financial needs and still needs to find a job, Father, so I just pray you just bless our Brother Mark, Lord, that you would just guide him, Father, and help him to be open to every opportunity that presents itself, Father. Just direct him, Lord, on where to look, Father. So I just pray you just provide for our Brother Mark, Lord, and that you would give him that opportunity to work that he's looking for. I want to lift up Brother Bob and Rocky, Lord. I don't know where our brother is tonight, Father, but we just pray you just bless him and Rocky wherever they are, Father. I just pray you just continue to meet their needs. A lot of physical things that Bob's got going on, and you just endures the pain, Father. We just pray you just give him relief from that pain tonight, Lord, that you just bless them and just provide for them, Father God. Just keep them in your care. Our brother Daniel would like us to pray for the unborn. And we know that the abortion situation in this world just breaks your heart, Lord, just like it does ours, Father God. So we just pray that that you would intervene, Father, into the hearts and minds of the people making these decisions, Father God. We just pray for women who are in a crisis pregnancy, Father, that you would just show them what the alternatives are, Father, and offer them an opportunity to let that life continue on, Father. So I just pray, Lord, that you would just guide our lawmakers and our voters, Father, and just change the hearts of man, Father, in this area. And as Sister Hannah is looking for, praying for health for Gary, Father, just pray for her husband, Gary, that you bless him and heal him, Lord, for their son, Peter, has some health issues, and he's also looking for a job. So we just pray for Peter also. And as Hannah just wants to express her thanks for everything you're doing in their lives, Father God. And that's the way it should be, Lord, with all our requests we have, Father God, we have so much to be thankful for, Father God. And again, I thank you for these brothers who are here tonight, Lord. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This grouping is, one is having the right heart, and then wicked service, and then worthless service. And it kind of puts together the way that the world exists, the way human beings exist. There's three, basically, groups. And so it's neat to see the groupings done through Proverbs. Now, you got to remember, it's 2,500 years ago that Proverbs were pulled together, but they were written before that. You know, I think that's the interesting thing to me is, I study the Word of God, to realize that we're reading what people wrote down over two millennia ago. And, you know, it's really interesting with all of the people out there talking about, you know, I'm talking about secular people, talking about just believing that things came about by random chance. It doesn't make sense. We haven't changed in 3,000-4,000 years of written history. We haven't changed because they're writing about the same issues back then as they are right now. Now, you know, we have a tendency to believe we live in the most important time. But it's really neat as we read Proverbs, and once again, the grouping really helps because it's very repetitious. Proverbs is repetitious. It keeps coming back to the same subjects over and over and over again. They're spaced out. But one of the things you learned as a parent, if you are a parent, it's not say at one time. Now, I was raised by a father who did say it one time, and you better hear it the first time. And so he didn't suffer a fool, but he didn't study the Bible either. But the thing is repetition is important. That's what we see here in Proverbs. So let's pray. Father, take your word and burn it deep into our hearts. Let us see that, Lord, you are the creator God of this universe, of everything that exists. Lord, you are the creator. And Lord, you know all things, and you've chosen to communicate with us. You've chosen through your written word to speak to us. And so, Lord, speak now as we read your word and share. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, Solomon, he wrote Ecclesiastes as well. And in Ecclesiastes 3:11, he says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts." From the time we were created, God has placed in us a spot that only he can fill, and he uses it to speak to us. Man's conscience is that lamp. It's the lamp of the eternal flashing into the innermost soul. Man's conscience, spirit, conscience. But this consciousness is how God reveals himself to us, how he shares himself with us. What we ought to do, that's our conscience, what we ought to do is the light of God in human life. What we ought to do, what is consciousness. We have a tendency to kind of put the two terms together, ethics and morality. Ethics and morality, we kind of interchange those two. And it's not, they're not really interchangeable. Ethics is what ought to be. This is what these are the higher things we try to obtain. Morality is what we see. It's what is right now. One of the problems in our society is what we do is every time we want to find out, hey, what's the norm? We do a survey. Well, if 50% are doing this or 51% are doing this, then this is the right thing. That's not true. Surveying people to find out what their habits are, that's morality. The morality of a society can vary. But ethics is something the way man ought to be. And that's what God has programmed into us. This what ought to be. Consciousness or a conscience is peculiar to humans, to mankind. Animals do not have a conscience. They do not have a consciousness. They have a lot of programmed things in them that they do, but they do not have a conscience. God has created us specifically with something greater when he said, "Let us make man in our image." Making man in our image. And that consciousness in man is really to do right. You're compelled to do right. But we don't know, is that caused by the environment? Is it caused by the social norms, the societal norms? Is it judgment? Is it training? Is it the surroundings? What he considers right. No matter what, man is aware of right and wrong. Man knows what's right or wrong. Sometimes the wrong is to their advantage, so they will do it. But he still knows what is right and wrong. And man must live with his conscience. Now, some people, their consciences are seared. But when we do that, when we sear that consciousness of right and wrong, when we begin to just ignore it, there's a loss of the zest for life, for living. When a person continues to do what they regard as wrong, you lose this sense of life, this joy. And so we run a risk of ignoring what God has to say because he has made us in a certain way to enjoy life. But we can only enjoy that life if we follow what God has given us. I like to think of the Bible as kind of like when you buy a washing machine, you get a booklet that tells you how to work the thing, which I usually set aside and I don't bother with anymore. But it's the instructions on how to use. Now, you can put in your washing machine. You can put your auto parts and clean them if you want. But that washing machine isn't going to function very well for very long. Certainly, there's things that we can do and we can get away with for a little while. But there's going to come a time when we're going to pay the price for it, for the abuse. The Word of God is the owner's manual for our lives. God created us, and he gave us his truth. All right, now, what is having a right heart? This is the first grouping. What is having a, and that's what we really want to focus on. We want to focus on what does God want us to do. But we need to have some examples of some things that we shouldn't be doing, and then to be able to identify those that will harm us. Proverbs 15, verse 11. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. So how much more the hearts of the sons of men? In other words, if hell and destruction God knows about, how much more is our heart before him? That is primary to him. He knows about these things. Hell is Sheol, is another word for it. For destruction, the word is Abaddon. And in Revelations 9:11, the name of the angel of the abyss is Abaddon. That was really interesting. Revelations 9:11. Okay. It's the angel of the abyss. People might try to call 911 at that point, but it won't do any good. In all the aspects of life, of our life, God is to be considered. We need to consider God. Because of what he says up here, he knows about hell and destruction. He knows about our hearts. And so therefore, in all aspects of our life, we should consider what does he have to say. In home, business, work, play, influences our conduct on life. It influences what we hold to be true. But the one thing, to acknowledge God requires humility. We must admit that he is primary, that he is first. And that means we are not. And that means it's humbling to us. Our will is subject to his will, to have proper perspective of ourselves. In other words, for us to have proper perspective of ourselves, we must know what his will is and give our will to him, so that he can bring about the best possible person I can be. By having this attitude, perspective of ourselves, it makes us slow to inflict our views on other people. And I think as a believer, we need to be aware of this. We need to share in love what our faith is, but we don't want to inflict on them and heap up all kinds of regulations and things like that, but share the true love of God and how he's changed our lives. God's thoughts and ways are higher than our ways. Our trust in God grows from knowing God's sovereignty over everything. When you come to the point where you realize that God is sovereign over everything, the world, the universe, you, me, life, death, it makes it so much easier for us to let go of ourselves, let go of our will, and then be subjected to His will. The thing is what's really interesting, His will is our peace. When I'm in God's will, that's my peace. Because I'm not fearful. I'm not worried about things. I know that He holds me. I know He has a place for me. And there's peace that comes with that. Proverbs 16, verse 2. All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. My ways are pure to me. In other words, my motivations are good. And at times, and I've done this a lot over my life, is I've justified my motives for sinning. I've come up with a good reason why it's okay in this situation to do this. But the righteousness of God should be our measuring stick. It should be how we measure right and wrong, not by us. The human heart, and it's used in a couple different ways. The one, obviously, is it's an organ. It's imperative that our heart functions properly in order for life to continue in a body. But it's also, especially in Scripture, it's the seat of consciousness and will. The heart is the seat of consciousness and will. Right thinking is important in its effect on life and health. If we have a proper perspective of life, it reduces the anxiety levels. And one of the greatest contributors to health problems is anxiety and fear. It's also the seat of emotion. Those two things, the seat of consciousness and the seat of emotion. Do we have a right heart when it comes to emotion and our will and our consciousness? Or do we have an ailing heart? We can have a wonderful heart right here in our chest that's keeping us alive, but we're being destroyed in every other way because we do not have the right heart. It's ailing. It's hurting. Why? Because we bought the lies of Satan. Heart trouble, wrong emotions produce illness. The spirit of envy, it's troubled relationships. It harms our health. Bitterness affects others. And it's really interesting. Not only does it affect others, but it affects us even more. Bitterness is destructive. Bitterness will destroy us and other people. But the healing of this heart, the heart of the consciousness, the heart of the emotion, healing comes in hope and peace and love and kindness, and trust. Healing works best in a tranquil mind. The heart is the center of all of man's personal activities. It represents understanding and emotional maturity. Represents man's true self. When you see a person, they may look good on the outside, but they're so destroyed inside that after a period of time, you begin to realize what you've been seeing on the outside is not really who that person is. The real person is that person you are inside. It's not what you are on the outside. It's not those trappings. Jesus spoke of inner aspirations and secret desires of each person. From the heart flows the springs of life. What we hold to be true, those are the springs of life that heal us, that take care of us, that strengthen us, and it does the same thing. It's interesting. It flows out to people around us. Many diseases are not organic difficulties. Maintain right thoughts, proper emotions, worthy motives, and the body's healthy. Proverbs 17. The refining pot is for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. The refining pot is for silver, the furnace is for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts, tests our hearts. God refines our hearts by testing us. And our character is revealed by our conduct. One of the true tests of a culture, our culture around us, how does a society value children? How does a society value children? There's few satisfactions comparable to having children. For those of you that have had children, you know what I'm talking about. It's hard, but the joy and the satisfaction, as you get older, the joys and the satisfaction of raising children, it's hard to compare it. And one woman was moving up the ladder of success, the corporate ladder, and she got up to the top and it really was at the peak. And she walked away from it. And they asked her, why did you do that? She says, because spreadsheets don't love me. My children love me. And it's true. You can have every toy available to man, and you will not get the joy that you will of having one of your children tell you they love you. It is not anywhere. Possessions can't come close to the joy of having children. And what does a society, how does a society, a culture, how do they value children? We have today, many young people are choosing not to have children. They're choosing not to have children because they are so anxietied out. They're so destroyed by what they're seeing. They don't want to bring children into this world. But we have hope. God has spoken to us, and He loves us. He's blessed us with these things. And yeah, you can get distracted by the things going on, but that hope and that peace and that joy that comes from that God speaking to our hearts. To see a child develop into a person of uprightness and integrity is wonderful. With discipline and direction, they produce new generation of children, seeing your grandchildren. And for those of you that are a little bit older than me, you've got those great, great grandchildren. I love my grandchildren. And it's neat to see them growing and to see my daughter and my son-in-law pouring their love into these children. Only a high faith in life and its possibilities can cause a nation to be worthy to welcome a new generation. Guys, we're in a tough place right now in our society. We're in a tough place because we've lost the value. Ed prays on a constant basis. Also, Daniel prays on a constant basis for our people that serve us and for those children that are being destroyed. Why? Because this reflects the culture. Children aren't as important anymore. And we need to restore that hope to them. We need to restore that hope to our children so they can pass it on to their children. Proverbs 20. Verse 11, even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure or right. A child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure or right. The child talked about right here is not a little child. It's likely a more mature person, still living close to the parents, having some control. The deeds are their actions or their conduct. It's a fact. We don't live up to our words. Our deeds are what we show, the things we do. We may say all kinds of things, but it's what we do that is the most important thing. It's our actions that prove our faithfulness to God and to others. Show people how to live. Tell them how to live. Show people how to live. You want someone to embrace the gospel? You want someone to embrace your Christian faith? Then show that to them. Don't just tell them about it. Certainly you want to tell them about it, but show it. Live it. And then I had a coach one time ask me, how do you integrate your coaching, your Christian faith into your coaching? Do you coach scripture? Do you do this? I said, no. I said, I go out every day and I try to live my faith. Because they're not going to listen to what I'm saying. They're going to watch my actions. They're going to watch what I do. If I'm acting in any way contrary to what I'm saying, they're going to reject it. Because if I'm, by my actions, are rejecting what I say I believe, why would anybody else believe it? Verse 27. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of the heart. The spirit of man. Now, this is Old Testament. There's a lot of emphasis on the spirit of man. All the way through Scripture, talks about the spirit of man. And the spirit is searching all of my inner parts, the depths of my heart. It's searching. And there's sometimes I don't like what it reveals to me about myself. Our spirit or our conscience is a lamp that bears witness and accuses us of sin. A light to also prevent our thoughts from getting too dark. When we're going in the wrong direction, this light, the light of God, brings us back. Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. Now compare that to 16:2. 21:2, 16:2, every way of man is right in his own eyes. But the conclusion is a little twist. It says here, but the Lord weighs the heart. In 16:2, he weighs the spirit. There's the connection between the heart and the spirit. That's it. And in Proverbs, it's doing that. And this is not by chance. This is directed by the Spirit of God. There's a reason for that. It says, because every way of man is right in his own eyes. But God weighs the spirit and the heart. We deceive ourselves to justify our ways. God measures the motives of the heart by his truth. He looks at us, he looks at our heart, the things that we're doing, and he measures our motives, the things we do, by his truth. God is truth. Proverbs 27. As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. Face reflects face, heart reveals the man. Okay? Our reflection is an accurate representation of how we look. You know, I've taken all the mirrors out of my house. Now, I don't want to see myself anymore. I'm tired. It's not looking good. But we see a reflection of ourselves. We do a pretty good job hiding that inside, that interior. The heart is what God is most concerned with. The heart reveals the man. And once again, there's these people, when you meet them, you find something warm about them. And then as you get to know them, they're reflecting such beauty from the inside out. They're reflecting a heart that loves God, that has love for their fellow man. It produces actions that correspond to the quality of our heart. Men recognize one another by external appearances, and they recognize inner character of each other. We recognize that. Sometimes it takes a little longer, but we recognize the inner character. face-to-face, heart-to-heart. Men are similar in their spiritual and mental makeup. God has made us that way, that we may communicate with each other. But the heart of man reflects the true character. Out of the abundance of the heart, man speaks. Luke 6:45. Out of the abundance of the heart, man speaks. And that is true. What's in our heart is what comes out. What I deep down inside, I can defend myself a little bit if I'm casually around people. I can kind of be careful. Watch what I say. And I can protect myself from exposing the character inside. But what's in my heart is going to come out. All right, now, this is God working in our lives. These are people that are aware. We realize that God is the great physician. He's the one that's really directing our lives. What about that wicked service? And that's where it becomes to Proverbs 15, verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. They're talking about the sacrificial things that were instituted, the ceremonies for sacrificial animals to take away or cover the sin of people. But if they're wicked, it's an abomination. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. In other words, one's an action that is placing something out so everybody can see. The other one is something that is done from inside. And that delights God. Verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. God is looking inside. Prayers come from the heart. God hears those prayers, those sincere moans and groans that call out to him. There's a gap between God and the wicked, but God draws close to hear the prayers of the righteous. God doesn't draw close to the wicked. He draws close to those that love him and offer prayers to him. Because those prayers are coming from the heart. They're coming from the condition, the abundance of the heart. Sacrifice without righteousness is not acceptable. Sacrifice in itself is not beneficial. There must be righteousness with it. Sacrifice is subordinate to the spirit offered. Ethical demands are more important than the ritual. Wise living is important. What does that mean? Wise living is important. It's justice and mercy. It's having justice and mercy. It's a virtue that's hard to practice. It's hard to render justice all the time. But we're told in Romans 13, 7, render to everyone that which is due to them. Give to a person what they deserve. Don't withhold that. The only way a society can exist, that it can endure, is there has to be just order. There has to be just order to have an enduring relationship and society. God wants the sacrifice of our hearts. That's what he wants. He doesn't want the external sacrifices. He wants the sacrifice of our hearts. Proverbs 21. Once again, this is wicked service. Service to God is good when it comes from the heart. It's not practicing the ceremonies. In verse 21:3, it says, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. That justice and mercy, that righteousness and justice, That's right living. God values moral obedience with ritual obedience, the two together. Moral obedience and ritual obedience. The ritual will not be accepted if we do not bring the ethical, the moral. You got to remember, God is the one that instituted sacrificial system. So the sacrificial system is important. We're not downplaying that. But what he's saying is the heart that you come with is important. Verse 27. 21, 27. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when it brings it with a wicked intent? That's the repeat of 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. And it's even worse if you have wicked intent. That makes it far worse. You can be kind of, you know, ambivalent, you're just not focused, whatever. That's bad. But when you come with a maliciousness, with a wicked intent, thinking that you're fooling God, not a good place to be. All right, now, the last grouping is worthless service, the wicked man. And this is the completely depraved. So we've gone from the godly to the ones that, okay, they know about the things they need to do, but they're not coming with the right attitude. Now this last grouping is, it's worthless service. And I'm going to read from Proverbs 6, 12 through 15. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Verse 15, therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. That's sad right there, that last statement, without remedy. We have a remedy for our sin. We have a remedy right now, but there's a time when we have rejected God so many times, there is no remedy for our sin. There is no remedy. You cannot be fixed. It's over. That you have rejected the true and the living God so many times, there is no remedy for your sin. It's really interesting, those things about winks and shuffles and, you know, we know the wicked people cause discord. They sow discord. But this idea of, you know, kind of winking and, you know, piercing the lips and, you know, kind of, you know, pointing and stuff like that. Somebody's up to something when they start doing things like that, when they start using these different, you know, body languages. And this 6, 12 through 15 is warning against deceit and malice, about sowing discord, using deceitful language and gestures to conceal information. Use sweet talk, give compliments to deceive, then you twist and change words to destroy the person. Perverted people that plot evil and constantly stir up trouble. These people, it's like they leave bad feelings when they're gone. And I used to say people like this are like somebody with bad body odor. Okay? You can still smell them after they leave. They destroy your life. They cause discord. They make you uncomfortable. There's no joy. And they can drag you down. Because they cannot lift themselves up, they pull others down. And that's one of the biggest problems right now with this whole movement about equity. I'm not going to get political. But anyway, this idea that we're going to have equal outcomes. Guys, I've coached for a long time, and I'm going to tell you something. As hard as I've tried for equal outcomes among my players, I'm not that good of a coach. There's some that are more gifted than others. This is the idea that meritocracy is the most important thing. People deserve something. Don't pull them down because you can't make it. And it's sad. You can't do it yourself, and so you destroy other people. Great sins produce even greater punishment. There's no hope of healing, and that's what Solomon says. Proverbs 10:10. He who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall. Winking is a sign of deception. That's why it's included again here. This idea of, body language, giving a thumbs up, pointing to somebody, doing something like that. Winking is a sign of deception. It causes sorrow. A fool will destroy himself. And believe me, all of us, when we become deceptive, we do more to destroy ourselves than we do other people. He will come to ruin. He acts as though God does not exist. That's the difference. He doesn't despise God. He just doesn't believe he's there. He doesn't exist. The person that gets to this point does not believe that God exists. That other group, just before this, they may despise God. They may not be honoring him, but they believe he does exist. This group right here, they don't believe that God exists. Proverbs 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Contrast of the righteousness and wickedness. Contrast of righteousness and wickedness. That's what this verse is about. The integrity of the upright, the perversity of the unfaithful. Integrity, perversity. Righteousness, wickedness. Salvation, righteousness produce a happy life. Crookedness produces death and destruction. And the other thing is these people, their speech is harmful. And they conceal truth. Speech can heal or harm. Speech can convey truth or conceal truth. And Solomon talks a lot about the tongue. Lincoln said about the fool, better to be silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. And it's true. You don't say anything, well, you're not quite sure because they haven't opened themselves up to you. But man, when a person starts, expounding on some thought and stuff, you're going, wow, there's no doubt. A person of integrity uses speech to heal and to convey truth. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 10:10 and Proverbs 16:30 talk about the winking of the eye. He winks his eyes to devise perverse things. He purses his lips and brings about evil. The eyes and the lips are vehicles of malicious intent. Violent men use nonverbal signals to communicate with their allies. Body language of perverse men, they compress their lips and close their eyes. Not close their eyes, but they bring their eyes down so they can really focus, home in on what they're going after. Exploitative personalities, that people are objects to be used. And we see that in the horrible, horrible sex trade, using other people, exploiting other people, because these people are to be used. They have no regard, no regard for human life. And this is one thing that's really an affront to God, because he made man for a purpose. This exploitation is an affront to God. Proverbs 20. It is good for nothing, cries the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasts. This is a person that haggles over a price. That's worthless. And then he goes his way, and he brags about getting a bargain. He's telling everybody what a great job he did deceiving other people. But he's going, this is lies. This is all lies. This is worthless. And he gets it, and then he's bragging to people. Righteousness is more important than wealth. Character is our greatest asset for the benefit of man. It's not how much money you have. It's not that you have money. It's how did you obtain the money? There's nothing evil about money. It's what we will do for it. Wealth easily gained has less value. People that get wealth easily, it doesn't have the value. When you equate the money that you have in your pocket with the effort that you put in to get it, then it has more value. Proverbs 23. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. Verse 7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. Hospitality of a stingy host that resents the guests because of what it cost him. People that remind you of what they spent on you, that's not the way you value people. A host is a deceiver. This host is a deceiver since his kind words do not reflect intentions of his heart. The kind words are not coming from the heart. They're to get something that he wants. And the attitude of this host will make you sick. Any attempt to praise him, it's a waste of your time. You should avoid attending any event with a person like this. And really, verse 7 is one of the most important verses there. Verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. I shared this once before with you, Francis Schaeffer, who wrote the book, How Should We Then Live? What we hold to be true is what we will act on. What we hold to be true is what we'll act on, whether it's true or not. We hold so hard to some things, and we act on it, and yet we can't even validate whether it's true, but we're acting on it. Proverbs 26, verse 23 through 26. Fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him. For there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. Smooth words may disguise clever or wicked hearts. Hypocrites pretend to be kind, but hearts are full of evil. Earthenware is like a new paint job on a rusted car. Putting the covering on it, it's still earthenware. It's still clay, cheap clay. And that's all you're doing. You're prettying it up. The one who hides his hatred behind words nourishes deceit within himself. The reason for the seven, it's not, there's no significance to it. It's just like indicating countless abominations. It's like a lot. You know, it's like when you say, I've told you a million times. You know, I've told you a million times. You know, that's an exaggeration. That's what that is. Concealed hatred will in time make itself known. In some outward act of violence, the person will be exposed for their weakness. The person will be exposed. Be sure your sins will find you out. Be sure your sins will find you out. Okay, wrapping it up, my final thoughts. The right heart. God knows all. Man sees himself as good. God looks at the heart. Spirit of man is how God directs us. Man recognizes man by sight. The heart reveals the real man. That was the first grouping. Right heart. Wicked service. What is our relationship with God? God rejects the wicked. God draws close to the righteous. Any sacrifice must be brought with a right heart. God sees the sacrifice, but looks past it to the heart. The worthless service. Wicked men use all his gifts to deceive. Evil is constantly in their heart, creates discord everywhere he goes. He is destroyed with no hope. He brags about his evil, has no integrity. Should stay away from these people. They do not care about you. Do not waste your words on them. They will make you hate yourself. They exploit other people. They're an affront to God. They may look good, but are rotten inside. They hate and are full of deceit. Their sweet words are a trap. But they will be exposed by God. No hope or remedy. Lost for eternity. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 23. The life of the Spirit. Verse 16. Before I get to 19. Done. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Verse 19. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word because by that we know you. And Lord, we're aware that you want to make us holy. You want to take us to that place where we can live a joyous life, but Lord, ultimately come to be with you for eternity. We thank you once again for your word. Because in it we find life. Amen.
Set free my heart. Set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.